The Burt Show.
All right. I was very optimistic about this because I love the idea behind it. I love the idea of destiny.
Yes. Mm-hmm. People are put in certain places for certain reasons.
Look, y'all, if you look at the relationships in this room right now, okay, Wendy is single. There's a reason for that. I believe that destiny just hasn't taken over yet. But
right.
I've been married now 13 years. I'm from San Diego. My wife is from a little town in Pennsylvania called Bradford. It's a little itty-bitty town, man.
Little speck on the map.
Speck on the map. We were never supposed to meet, but for whatever reason, she ended up in that bar on St. Patrick's Day the same night I was. We happened to be doing shots
drunk
at the same
time,
and drunk destiny took over. Let's take a look at you and Grant.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, we met, a year and a half ago here in studio, a little over year and a half ago, I think it was. And it was just a chance meeting because the Burt Show was helping his school in their quest to be a part of President Obama's inauguration. And so we took on their cause, and that's how we met. But we didn't go on our first date until over a year later.
So cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was random. I mean, just that
very
they
random.
Needed all the funds. Mm-hmm. We were the ones that called him up, not him directly, but the school up, and said, we'll help you out.
Right.
He comes in studio, and Jen falls in love with Superman.
Yeah. It wasn't until a year later that he actually reached out. So we met and were cordial and professional friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was a year later when he knew I wasn't in a relationship that he reached out.
The backgrounds between you and Katie Joe.
Katie Joe and I met at Vision years ago during Bitterball because one of her straight guy friends, wanted to go and didn't want to go by himself. And so she was his wing woman. And we met. I thought she was straight, didn't ask her out or anything. And then 2 years later, we met at the L Word premiere party and saw each other again. And that's when I realized, hey, wait a second, I can ask her out. And so, and we've been together ever since.
Destiny takes over.
So cool.
For Jeff, it was, and Jessica, it was signing up for eHarmony at the same time.
That's not true. They were actually friends first.
No, it was eHarmony and Jeff lied on the questionnaire. And that's why I got Jessica.
He sent in someone's
picture.
Yes.
He sent in Jacob from Twilight's picture.
Hey. Right. So, I mean, anybody, when you look at any relationship, really, it's part of destiny. Like, you're supposed to be there at that time, and she's supposed to be there at that time. So we thought we'd force that hand a little bit on Friday. So what we did was we thought, okay, let's just pick up one phone line. And a single guy was on there. That was Mel, who we'll pick up again. Then we'll pick up another phone line and see if there's a single woman on there. And it was. It was Andrea. Okay. Playing the same destiny card, he was supposed to be in the car at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So was she.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult to get through on the phone lines here. But somehow, some way, those two got through.
Mm-hmm.
Should be destiny, right?
Right.
Okay.
Positive energy, Bert. What's that?
Could be.
I'm excited.
They already eloped.
I can't wait to see how this goes. Mel, good morning. You are on the Bert Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you, sir? You sound much, much, much more excited today than when you first were on with us.
Yes. I'm excited to talk to you guys. I've been listening to you for over 8 years, every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have we ever met before?
No.
Okay. Why are you asking? Because we do have another Albanian listener that I've met at an appearance, I swear to you.
And now we have two.
Maybe it was my destiny to hook up with Mel.
Exactly.
Hey, Mel, you were pretty excited to call up on Friday. And why was that? Just because it was something different?
Actually, yeah, just because of that. And I've been trying to call Burt Show for like years, and I never could get through to you guys to talk to you like on a different show. And I said, you know, what's the harm just to try to see, you know, if this is a destiny just to call in. And the second time I called, boom, I got through. So I was pretty excited, yeah.
Okay, so you hear what he's saying again in our little resume of destiny here.
Yeah, right.
It's taking him forever to get through, but on this day,
that's right,
when we're doing this specific segment, Mal gets right through because he was the only male caller. What?
I'm just waiting to hear about our leave of faith date.
I want to hear on the other side.
Now, Mal, you're a single guy, obviously. Give us your impressions about dating in Atlanta.
Actually, you know, like I told Audrey, my life is really busy. I work, you know, pretty much a lot. And I do go out with my friends and date, but it's not that easy because, you know, I don't know really how to express it, but it's not that I have a problem to date girls, but it just never, you know, it's hard to find the right one.
Sure. Mm-hmm. How long have you been in Atlanta now?
11 years.
11 years. Okay. All right, let me get Andrea on the phone here also. Now, you guys did meet up, right?
Yes, on Sunday, yeah.
Oh, good. That's cool.
And how long did that meeting last for?
For like 25 minutes, I think. 20, 25 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Bad.
Let's get her on. Hey, Andrea, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm fine, running late for work, which is lucky for y'all, so I can stay on the phone.
Oh, good. Again, destiny.
Right.
She has to stay on the phone with us because she's late for work. Andrea, now, why did you call us on Friday? Tell us about dating in Atlanta.
I called out of curiosity, and dating is non-existent right now for me. So,
is that
and you were just like, kind of, why not?
I guess it's just I'm choosy, so I probably could have a boyfriend if I just wanted to talk to anybody, but I don't. So I'm just single.
So if you're so choosy, then why'd you call on Friday? You must have been like, well, that's probably
I was being nosy because I actually called three times, and the first two times Carl picked up, I hung up on both of them. And the third time I just said, okay, I'll stay on the line and see what happens.
All right. There we go.
Three calls.
Come on.
Here is destiny right here. On the third one, she gets the guts, and that's when Mal's on the phone.
Right.
All right, Andrea, so you must have been a little bit skeptical about going out and meeting this guy. Give us sort of a picture of what happened when you guys met. Where'd you go?
We went to the Starbucks on Cobb Parkway near Cumberland Mall. I don't know. I got there a little before him, and Tracy said he would be wearing a blue and white summer shirt, and luckily he was the only person in there with a blue and white shirt, so I didn't look stupid, and we just met after that and sat down and had a drink together and chatted.
And what was your first impression?
I was like, he's not. Well, first I had several things that I was thinking. I was like, well, maybe it's a little person, or what if it's a guy with a mullet? And when I first initially heard him, I thought he was like a big Southern guy. And I was like, what if he doesn't like black people? Because I'm a black woman. But no, he just, I don't know. I just was not appalled. I was like, okay, this isn't bad.
Okay, not appalled.
See, that is, that's always,
wow.
I would take that as a compliment. So this is what I was, Melissa, the first time I saw her, I was not appalled. I'd be like, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. If you don't make a woman vomit the first time you see her, you're doing good, right?
All right, I think we have now set the bar for the rest of the date. I was not appalled, in the first minute.
That's funny.
So the window of opportunity was open because she wasn't appalled. Now, Mal, when you saw Andrea for the first time, were you appalled or were you not appalled?
Okay, because just, you know, appalled, what does it mean? Because my English is second language to me. I don't know everything about English.
Yes.
So.
Appalled means like she wasn't upset. She wasn't mad. She
no,
right?
No, she was pretty. Did you think she was pretty?
Right? She was really cute, and honestly, you know, I didn't expect like to meet, you know, her exactly. And, you know, by her name, I thought she's like somewhere else, like from Europe or something.
Okay.
But I liked her. She was a cute girl, and you know, we had a good conversation about our lives and you know what we like to do the most. So you know, she was a cute girl. I was appalled too.
Was not.
You mean you were not appalled?
You were not appalled. You told the wrong meeting. The meaning of the word. See, Andrea, at least, I mean, maybe his lack of knowledge of the English language is charming.
A woman could definitely take advantage of that, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Mal, did you feel like there was any kind of chemistry? I mean, it was only 25 minutes long, so my initial impression is it wasn't gripping.
I don't know if I had any chemistry right away. You know, I didn't have the chemistry the same day, but you know, I think we should share something, you know, similar, and you know. We like to go to like see movies and see art. I think, you know, we could have a second date, but I didn't have the like chemistry the same day, honestly.
Andrea, did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I told Tracy it felt kind of like I was comfortable with him. He made me very comfortable. I felt more like it was me hanging out with an old friend that I hadn't seen in a while.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
So I definitely would, you know, wouldn't mind hanging out with him because he seems really cool. But it didn't feel like a, wow, I want to date, let's go get married tomorrow type of chemistry. But he was really nice, though.
Well, sometimes on these things, it's a slow build. Also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you got a little something there. Like, neither one of you are appalled, so that's a good foundation
that's a good
right
date.
There.
That's always
a
good
starting place.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not really sure what we were expecting here. I don't know if we were expecting you guys both to come back and go, oh, my God, you guys were so right. But a lot of times these things just go slow build.
Yeah.
Maybe you're away from each other for a while. Then you realize, okay, you know what? I'll have coffee with this dude again.
Yeah.
And then it grows into something else.
Yeah.
It could be.
Or not.
It could be. Now, did you guys exchange phone numbers? Because Tracy set up the first meeting.
Yeah,
yeah,
we did exchange the numbers.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Okay. That's really cool.
So who knows? We may have to check back with you guys in a couple of weeks and see if you had another cup of coffee or something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, no problem.
Let us know if you hang out again. Even if it's just as friends, because you never know. It could be one of Mal's friends that Andrea is supposed to meet, or vice versa.
That's totally
right.
True. That's where the real destiny may be right there.
Because we started this. Remember I said that one of my friends described it as you have already exhausted your dating circles or exhausted your social circles for dating. So this could open up a new social circle for both of them.
Totally. You just that's the thing about destiny is you don't know. Andrea may have a friend that is supposed to be with Mal.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much. Both of you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, not a complete failure. I'm not appalled by that at all.
Yeah, it was not appalling.
Because you don't know what's going to happen right. In a couple of weeks. I'd be willing to try that again.
Yeah.
This is sort of our pilot season right here. The summer is our pilot season, where we'll throw out a whole bunch of stuff and try some new things.
Mm-hmm.
I got no problem trying that later in the show.
I'm glad that you feel a little better about it.
How do you feel about it?
You were a little worried about it before.
I'm not appalled, man. Aaron, good morning. You're on The Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I think the way this destiny couple turned out was perfect because that is like real world. I mean, you know, it's rare. It's like movies when people see fireworks and they're all like, oh, I want to get married. I think it was a humongous compliment for her to say that he felt like old friends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
She's known for years. I think that's really positive.
It's a slow build in a case like this. I agree with you, Aaron.
I agree.
Thanks for calling.
I'm
appreciate
happy
it.
With it. Very cool.
Yeah, we'll check back with them in a couple of weeks and see if there's anything there.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
All right, let's talk to Jeremy here. Just to get you guys caught up, here's a 30-second recap of exactly who Jeremy is.
So this guy and I, we dated for about a whole year, my last year in medical school. I went to medical school here at Emory. About, you know, what, like 6 months after I moved out to L.A., you know, I start hearing from my mom when I would call to check in that my sister had met a great guy, all of that. But it was never anything specific like that. And the night I got here, we went to my sister's house, who she's now living with, a guy. And when I walked in, I realized it was the guy that I had dated that whole last year of medical school. So and they're getting married tomorrow.
Okay, so the stakes were risen even more because nobody in his family knows he's gay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if he comes out to his sister and says, look, the dude you're about to marry tomorrow morning, I dated 2 years ago, then everybody in the family is going to know about it. And he was really, really fearful that there was going to be a major shakeup.
Was it because I didn't hear the original call because I wasn't here the day y'all took it?
Mm-hmm.
Was there was it a zero option of was he not close enough to go to his sister and just tell her and have the wedding?
That was the suggestion.
Just be canceled?
It was a suggestion, but he had so many family members in town.
That they would have to give a reason?
They'd have to give a reason as to why it was going to be busted up. So the only thing we know up until now is an email that we got from him over the weekend that just said it went 100% worse than he thought it was going to go, which was our worst nightmare. Jeremy is back, and he's out in Los Angeles now. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How's it going?
Well, it's okay for us. Now, Melissa reminded us that you weren't supposed to leave back for L.A. until, like, the end of the week, right?
That is right. I was supposed to be in Atlanta until Thursday, but I'm back in L.A. I came back through standby, 6 o'clock Saturday morning.
Oh, no.
Okay, so where do we even start? We get off the phone with you. It's about, I don't know, 8:15 probably on Friday or what have you. As soon as you got off the phone with us, what did you do?
I started trying hyperventilating, so I did the whole brown bag thing.
Wow.
Oh, that was insane.
No, wow. Yeah, so about 8:15, we got off. 8:16, I couldn't breathe. I calmed down by 8:20, and I called my sister.
Also, you
right away.
You immediately did. I think that's the best way to go, because I think the longer you wait, the more you're going to talk yourself out of it, you know?
Yeah. If I waited, I would have lost the courage that you guys gave me. You guys were like, you know, just go ahead and do it, get it over with, and that's what I decided to do.
Mm-hmm. So did you tell her you needed to talk to her in person?
Yeah. Definitely not something I was going to do over the phone. I told her that, you know, I could take her out for breakfast, something like that, and she was freaking out because she broke one of the straps on her shoes, her wedding shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So she needed to go shopping for shoes, and I said, you know, we'll go together. I'll help you, and then we can have lunch, and I need to talk to you.
Yeah, after her shoe busted, she's like, oh, my God, now what could go wrong?
Right. Yeah.
This broken strap is going to ruin my whole wedding.
Yeah, she thought that was going to be the worst thing that could happen to her on Saturday. So we go shoe shopping. We're done. She bought shoes. We go to lunch, and, you know, we sit down, and I tell her, you know, I have something I want to tell you. I'm gay. I'm homosexual. And she was like, oh, and she was flabbergasted. She didn't say anything. And she was like, that's what you wanted to tell me on this day, but do you want to ruin my wedding day? I mean, are you going to tell our parents? And I was like, well, I had to tell you this because of what I'm going to tell you next. And I said, the guy you're marrying, we dated my last year in medical school. And she stared at me for a good 2 minutes, didn't say anything. She took out her cell phone, texted someone, and put the phone down, and then almost immediately she got a response to her text, read it, and went off on me. She said that I was a pervert, that because I was gay, I was never going to be able to marry anyone, and I was trying to ruin her wedding.
Mm. Oh, no.
Do you know who the text was? Did she text him?
Yeah, she texted him, but I didn't know that until later. Like, that I realized Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
This is all Friday. So she went off on me. She started yelling at me, saying that I wanted to ruin her wedding, that it was because I was gay. And, I mean, every time I use the word gay in my story, substitute the F word, which I'm not sure I can say on air.
Right. You can't.
We get it. Yeah.
So, you know, just substitute that every time I say the word gay. And she said that I wasn't going to be able to, that I was never going to get married, and I wanted to ruin her wedding, that I was being, and, you know, a bad brother, that I was all of this. So she left. And, of course, I was stranded at the restaurant because she was driving. But when I, you know, finally got a cab, all of that, and I decided to head home.
Was she bawling? I mean, was she tearing, tearing, I mean, crying as she left the restaurant?
Yeah. This was an all-out dramatic. Everyone in the restaurant turned around and looked at her. I mean, the maitre d' came over and said, can we get you a glass of water? I mean, it was something out of the movies. I'm surprised she didn't throw a fork at me or something like that.
So you said after she stranded you at the restaurant, then you decided just to go home, go back to the West Coast. So did they end up getting married on Saturday?
Well, on my way home, on the cab, on my way home to my parents' home, I get a text from the guy that she's marrying.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and I didn't know, because the number, it said unknown. Mm-hmm. It wasn't an actual number. It said, you tried to get rid of me, I'll always be in your life.
What? Yep. No, Melissa, I think you might have said something about this.
I said
this
on Friday because there's no way that he had no idea that was your sister.
Okay, and he signed it, you know, with his name, and that's how I knew it was him.
Wait, what is that? I don't understand that because you guys talked about it.
Because they broke up.
Because they broke up.
Melissa's theory was that this guy that she was marrying was still in love with Jeremy here, so he was just trying to stay in the family somehow, some way.
No way.
What is the coincidence that you're going to date a guy? Because they dated for a year. This is not just not a couple months. They dated for a full year, and then all of a sudden he's dating his sister and going to marry her.
It's a movie plot.
Why would he send a text like that, though? Because now you've got hard data to show the family.
That's what I thought. So the first thing I did when I got that, I forwarded it to my sister's cell phone. And I said, see, this is what I'm talking about. And she responded and said, I'm not listening. You're a pervert. I want you to leave and not come to my wedding. Do not show up at my wedding.
That's why he sent it from an unknown number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
instead of using his cell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got that text message, and the number usually that shows up, it said unknown. It was just a text message.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, but that's what I told my sister, and my sister responded in text. She said, do not show up at my wedding. So I was like, okay, I'll go home and, you know, just tell my parents that I'm not going to the wedding, or, you know, go to a hotel if I have to, something like that. So I'm in the cab, and I get to my parents' house, and everyone's in the living room. My mom, I hear her in the kitchen crying. Mm. I mean, bawling. She wouldn't look at me when I walked in there. And then my dad, when I tried to console my mom, ask her what was going on, talk to her, my dad comes in, and we got into a fight. He started yelling at me, telling that what I had done, what I was doing, was against God, was against everything we believed in. And then he punched me. He said that I had disgraced the family, that I should be ashamed of what I am and what I decide to do, and that he wouldn't have anything to do with me.
This almost sounds like so dramatic that it's almost like unbelievable. Like it sounds.
Yeah.
So he literally struck you.
Yep. He punched me.
Oh.
So I grabbed my stuff. And, you know, I wasn't going to engage or do anything of that sort because he's still my father. And the last thing he said to me was, I would have preferred for you to be a murderer because God can forgive murder, but not the gay.
Oh,
my God. Now, Melissa's sitting here like it's Simon. She's heard this story before. For you New Berkshire listeners, Melissa is gay.
Yeah. Jeremy, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. I'm not surprised. I mean, this is the reality for a lot of gay people, and this is the reason so many people are in the closet, is exactly what Jeremy's gone through, and that's why Jeremy was in the closet. Most families don't treat their gay children well, period. And so many people are living in misery because they don't want to have to hear that from what they assume is their closest people. He said, I didn't strike my father back because he's still my father. Well, the father should have thought that about his son, but he doesn't. And it's always the weapon people use is God. Always.
So the scene is now you guys are in the house. He struck you and he's yelling at you. Do you immediately leave or does your mom get in between the two of you? Or is there just like this dramatic yelling going on in the house?
No, it's just this dramatic yelling. It's in the kitchen. It's me, my father, and my mother. My mother doesn't look up. I mean, she is crying. She doesn't look up at all. And so my dad said that I immediately went upstairs, packed my stuff, and, you know, was heading out through the living room where remember you guys, I told you there was 80 people here for that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person was in the living room hearing what my father and I had just
in
the kitchen. So I'm leaving. I say, you know, kind of like that shameful goodbye to everyone, not really seeing eye to eye, not looking at anyone, just kind of like mumbling my way through everyone saying, you know, have a good one. I'll see you guys or something like that. And my niece, my sister's daughter, runs up to me and hugs me. She's like, goodbye, and, you know, I'll see you. And she always asks me to bring her latex gloves because she likes for me to blow them up into balloons. And when she hugs me, you know, she grabs onto my leg, and I pull her up, and I hug her, and I'm in tears. I mean, I am crying just because everything's so emotional. And my grandmother runs up, tears my niece off me, tells her not to touch the pervert.
I'm so sorry.
My heart hurts for you, man. I'm so sorry. Wow. So you leave and you get back on a plane and you go to Los Angeles. Have there been any calls from the family at all since then?
Not at all. I called my mother a couple times just because I left. I mean, she never looked up from her hands. She cried in the kitchen. I left and, you know, I never got a chance to say goodbye. My father wouldn't let me back into the kitchen to talk to her. Nothing of that sort. So I tried calling her. She hasn't responded to anything. And I got a text from one of my cousins saying they went through with it because they all heard what we were fighting about. Check Facebook. So I went on Facebook and I saw pictures of the wedding, and my sister went through with it with the guy.
I'm so sorry, Jeremy.
Here is Misty. Wow. Good morning. You're on the Burt Show. Hi, Misty.
Hi. Jeremy, I'm so upset for you. I'm a Christian myself, and one of the main things God taught us was not to judge people, and people need to quit using God against something so hateful, because God's not hateful. He don't hate nobody. He forgives everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. So you don't worry about that, okay? Everybody has their things that they think are wrong, but you can't let anybody judge you, ever, ever. The only person that can judge you is God, and whatever happens in your life or anybody else's life is between them and God. So you don't let people tell you what's right and what's wrong in your life. You go with what you believe, honey.
Jeremy, what was the religious background here again? Refresh my memory.
LDS, Mormon.
Mormon, right.
Yeah, we're Mormon.
Well, we've got a ton of people that obviously want to call, that are calling in and want to support you and all. Do you have time to hang out, or do you have to go ahead and take off?
Well, I'm not home yet, but I'll be there in about 5 minutes. So, yeah, I can stay on if you guys want.
Yeah, if you'd like to hear from them. I mean, that's up
to
you.
Yeah,
okay.
Good.
Hold on one sec for me.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Well, we knew it wasn't going to be good. I think Melissa had sort of predicted this is exactly what was going to happen. I want to get more into the text when we come back, though.
I do, too. I think he did the right thing.
He did do the right thing.
I think he did the right thing by telling his sister. I don't think he would have ever been able to live with himself knowing she went through with that without him saying anything.
The whole scene just sounds, you know, Melissa obviously is taking this... you know, less dramatically than the rest of us, because she's probably heard this before within your own circles and stuff like this. But
the
fighting and yelling and like the grandmother pulling the child off his legs.
Physical fight, punching your son.
Punching?
Yes, I mean, I've heard this all the time. This, I mean, you know, it makes me so sad. But I'm glad this story has come out for so many people who were so. I'm glad people are shocked by the story. But this is not uncommon, and it's not uncommon for be called a pervert. It's not uncommon for the God thing. It's not uncommon for people to say, "I don't want you to be around my children." It is not uncommon for this to happen, and it's so sad. It is so sad, and that's why when you know there's play, you know, lesbians and play, you know, I get so angry because this is. The sacrifice and what you go through when you're gay, not being drunk and being stupid in a club. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the serious part of it that people are trying so hard to fight against. And yeah, you just got, you know what? Straight people, you got to question yourselves. If you're sad by this, then you got to look about how many gay jokes you've told, what messages you've sent to your family. This is the time to look at yourself.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
All right, let's go ahead and just, again, we're going to get Jeremy back on here in just a minute, but this has been pretty dramatic this weekend. First, Jeremy called us on Friday morning.
Yes, Jeremy called and said he is doing his residency on the West Coast in California, and that his last year of medical school, he dated this guy. So they dated for about a year. They broke up because he moved out to California to do his residency. They didn't want to do long distance. So then he, through the grapevine, his family grapevine, he learned that his sister was dating somebody. Then he learned his sister was engaged to this guy, and they were getting married this weekend. So he was saying, as a resident, it's kind of hard to get vacation time to leave, but he got it for the wedding. So that's why he hadn't been home, you know, while they've been dating. So when he got home for the wedding and went in and met the guy, it ends up it was that same boyfriend from medical school. So it was his ex-boyfriend. So he called us on Friday to say, look, I don't know what to do, but should I tell my sister about our relationship or should I not? And then what complicated matters is that Jeremy's been in the closet and so had his ex-boyfriend. So by doing so, not only was he going to out himself, he was, you know, going to potentially add himself to the entire family because the entire family was in town for the wedding.
And he did that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he added himself and it went terribly, terribly. Sister cried when he told her. She said, I don't believe you, called him disgusting and really nasty words. She goes back to the entire family. Nobody wants anything to do with him. And in the ultimate insult, he actually gets in a fist fight with his dad, who says that he's disgusting and he shouldn't have said anything at all.
Well, he didn't get in a fist fight. His dad hit him. He didn't retaliate, so he got punched by his dad. There's a difference.
So, I mean, the way this whole thing has played out, it's just has been as dramatic as it can get. It almost sounds like it's right out of a movie, right? Here is Diane. Good morning, Diane. You are on The Burt Show, and Jeremy's back on with us. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. I wanted to mention to, you know, I myself have to reevaluate my thought patterns and my morals because I have three sons and I almost always comment and, you know, make comments about things that they do that appear to be gay, or my husband does the same thing, and my heart goes out to Jeremy, and but it's definitely making me think, you know, you know, how could someone treat another human being like that? And it's just making me think you know, about my own situation, about things that my husband and I say to our son.
There is nothing that can shatter the foundation of a person, nothing more shattering than when your parents reject you. That's it, man. Ugh. I mean, there is nothing worse than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it takes years and years and years to get over something like that. Here is Brandon. Good morning. You are on The Bert Show.
Hey, Bert. It's Brandon. I love your show.
Thanks.
I just want to tell Jeremy to stay strong, not to worry about it, because apparently his parents really don't care about him. If they did, then they would understand he was only trying to help his sister out, not trying to cause any kind of drama or anything like that. I'm going through the same issue, man. My grandmother's laying in a St. Joseph's hospital right now, and my dad told me to get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and so she told him, and at that time, all my family doesn't mind, like my grandparents and my aunt and uncle and all that. So I can't really go with a lot of deal with Jeremy, but I know how my dad and mom is, and it hurts so bad. But yeah, just stay strong, man. You'll be fine.
Jeremy, let me ask you this about that text message real quick. I want to focus on that just real quick. That text message that he sent you, once again, the line was what?
It said, you tried to get rid of me, I'll always be in your life.
Hmm. You thought you'd get rid of me, I'll always be in your life. What does that say to everybody in here?
It says to me that his ex-boyfriend is manipulative and crazy. Sorry, Jeremy. And that, yeah, he's, I don't know, he's just being mean.
You think that...
It's awful.
All of this was calculated to stay in Jeremy's life?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do.
Do you believe that now, Jeremy?
I don't even care right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he was just doing it to be mean, to say, you know, you thought your sister was going to believe you, but it turns out, you know, that she believed me over you, and, you know, this is what you get. And, you know, it really doesn't matter anymore, I guess. You know, I tried to do my best. Like you guys said, you know, I don't think I was going to be able to live having that on my conscience that I let my sister marry, mm-hmm. you know, a guy. And now, you know, it's all up to my family. You know, it's not like I'm going to be in a lot of contact with them, you know, for the upcoming years. So, you know.
Do you still need to be on The Voice Disguiser?
Yeah, that would be good.
You still want to be on it? Okay.
I had a question about this guy who married your sister. Did he go through the whole religious thing? Because you said your family is Mormon. Did he, like, become a Mormon, or was he already?
He was already.
He was already. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why he was closeted.
Yeah.
Here is Monica. Good morning. You're on The Bert Show. Hi.
Good morning. My heart is just breaking for Jeremy. Mm-hmm. He did the right thing, for sure. I think we all know that. My question is... As time goes by, will he show his sister pictures of the two of them? Surely he must have pictures of them together if they dated for a year.
Do you have pictures? Yeah, that came up on Friday also. Do you still have any pictures of the two of y'all?
I think maybe I might have some, but they're probably buried in storage somewhere. But I'm sure I probably do have some pictures. But I mean, I sent my sister the text that he sent me. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think I've provided enough proof for right. my sister. I don't think it's a lack of proof. I think it's just that my sister doesn't believe me. Like, just blatantly ignored what I told her, and just thought that I was doing it out of spite to break them up or something like that. You know, I think I could probably show him a picture of us kissing together, and she would be like, you jumped him.
Yeah.
You did it.
Yeah, I think it's too late for that. There's mm-hmm. no reason for that. Mm-hmm.
It's not really a question, like you say, of believing you or not believing you mm-hmm. anymore. Oh.
Because it makes you look petty for still mm-hmm. chasing it, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, I'd let it go.
Yeah, I mean, they're married already, so, mm-hmm. you know, what comes, wow. you know?
Even with all the drama and the disconnection and it's still so raw, do you feel like you did the right thing, or is there somewhere inside of you that said, I just shouldn't have said anything at all?
I know my mind knows that I did the right thing, but what kills me and still kills me, and I'm trying to hold back the tears, I'm trying to be strong, is that I lost my family. My whole family, my mother, she wouldn't look at me. I truly disappointed her. And I've always done
everything possible to honor, you know, what my parents expected, everything that they wanted me to do. You know, I was top of my class undergrad. I did research. I have a PhD as well as an MD. I mean, I did everything that they wanted. And I can't believe that I've lost my parents, my grandmother, who, you know, I flew to see her in the middle of my intern year when she was ill. And I mean, just everything that I had ever gone through with my grandmother, with my parents, and all of that's gone. I have no one to be with me, no one to call, no one to say that I have a family.
Is it possible that, or is it any comfort that you did this in the most, like, such an emotional time with, like, the wedding going on and everything, that maybe in 7 days your mom will pick up the phone when she's away from her dad, from your dad, when she's away from the pressure of all that, and just one person will reach out? Or like you said, the cousin who let you know that the wedding happened, or somebody would just reach out to start that connection?
I'm hoping, but honestly, the way we were raised, I mean, the way I went to church, you know, 18 years, 19 years, I went on a mission. I was a missionary, and what we were taught, the doctrine, was that I am going to go to hell. I mean, like my father said, he would have preferred that I be a murderer because God could forgive murder, but not being gay.
Here is Karen. Good morning, Karen. You're on the Burt Show.
Yes, I'm calling, and I feel so sorry for Jeremy. I just feel sorry for him. But I went through the same thing this weekend. I didn't listen to your show Friday, but having a conversation with a friend of mine who's gay, has a sister who was dating a guy who was gay. He knew it, but allowed his sister to marry this woman. He never said anything to her. 6 months, I think it was 6 or 9 months later, she found out he was gay. And just went crazy. But never really found out that her brother knew all the time.
So what's the message? Like, looking back now, does he regret that he didn't tell the
sister?
He
totally regrets it. Yeah. Totally regrets it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you did the right thing, man. I mean, the sacrifice was deep. Mm. And that's going to be hard to hear, but you, everybody's saying you did the right thing.
It's. I think that what I sacrificed, because it didn't change anything. Nothing. My sister still got married. You know, if my sister had outed me to my parents, because she was the one that called my parents and said, you know, my brother just told me this and he's gay, and that's how my parents found out. And had she not married the guy, or at least stopped to think about it, at least said, okay, explain to me, prove it to me, or, you know, at least giving me a shed of, you know, the benefit of a doubt, at believing me, pausing, postponing the wedding, something that made it feel to me like it was worth it, sacrificing my whole family, my whole life, then I think I would be okay. But as it stands right now, I mean, I've lost all connection with all my family, and it changed absolutely nothing.
Melissa's sitting here with tears in her eyes.
Yeah, I mean, my thought is, for, you know, Bert is always talking about how he had he did not have the family experience he should have had. So he says, you know, but it's up to him to break the cycle so that he doesn't have to do this with his own children. And to me, if you're listening and you're straight, if you're listening to me and you're a church leader, if you're listening to me and listening to Jeremy's story and you feel bad at all, then let's stop the cycle. Mm-hmm. Let's stop it. I mean, you know, yeah, let's just stop it. But what more do we have to say? I mean, what more do we have to show? We don't need to treat each other this way. So if you're at church, reach out and tell people we are gay friendly and you are welcome here. And our whole congregation is going to teach you that God is about love. And if you're straight, then you love your children. You know, the fact that, and I'll say it, I mean, I'm happy for Jen. I'm happy for Jen to be engaged and to marry Grant. But I've been with my girlfriend nearly 5 years, and I cannot get married because the same crap that Jeremy's going through. And it makes me sad. And gay people, we're sad so much of the time. And we're unhappy, and we're hiding, and we're, you know, always, you know, laughing when people make some stupid comment about gay people or a gay joke or whatever.
and we just laugh and we smile, but it's not funny. This is not funny. This is our life. And sometimes you just get so tired. And I'm so sorry for Jeremy and all the people out there like this. And I rarely cry, but I'm so tired of hearing these stories and seeing people hate each other. Just stop. Stop. If you're a church, stop it. For God's sake, stop it. If you're a parent who is embarrassed because your child is gay, stop it. It just makes me so mad, and I'm sorry to get so emotional and so mad about it, but just, everybody, just stop it. Let me get married. Let me have a child, and it be okay. Just, I don't know what to do anymore. And I feel bad for Jeremy, because he doesn't know what to do anymore. Yes, he did the right thing, but he has to spend the rest of his life without his family. Why? Why? Because you think you read something in the Bible that said to hate us? Then you're the one that is going to be judged, not me. I can tell you, not me. Because I have lived my life honestly, and I have lived my life in love, and I've loved the people I'm with honestly. And it just makes me so mad. It just makes me so mad, because when are we going to stop this? When are we going to stop this? Pervert? A grandmother ripping a child out of his arms? Every gay person listening right now that's crying, who's in the closet, understands this. And I always, you know, I don't know. There are times that I'm tired, and then people say it's so important for you to be on the Burt Show and to say what you have to say. But whenever we're not on the air anymore, what is left? There's no other gay DJ coming on and being proud of themselves. Everybody's hiding. And it's because people hate them. And it's because people do this to people like Jeremy. And anyway, I don't know what else to say, because I feel like, aren't you paying attention? Then just stop it. You know, just stop it. Let me go to, Katie and I are still trying to find a church that accepts us as a family. And we want to be a part of a church that loves us, and we don't have to feel self-conscious in there. And I don't know. Anyway, it's so frustrating to hear these stories. And I'm so glad. I mean, I'm proud of the people I'm in the room with, because they've always made me feel just like them. And they're in here making, you know, surprising responses to Jeremy. And I've always been proud of the people on the Burt Show and the staff of the Burt Show. You know, I wish everybody could work with people like I work with. And I wish everybody could be surrounded by a family that I'm surrounded by. But they're not. And it's up to us to make sure that they can be. I don't know.
Look, here's Jeremy. He's told us everybody his whole life story here. He's told everybody. He's put it all out on the table, yet he's still scared to go off the voice disguiser.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the kind of life you have to
and
live.
And people think that this is a choice? How would Jeremy choose that? You know? Mm-hmm. Why would he choose to lose his family? Mm-hmm.
Melissa, would you mind putting us in order of who you're most proud of?
Honey, I'm a lesbian. I'll pick the girls in the room every time.
Hey, Jeremy, I'm really, really sorry, man. I mean, I don't even know what to say, man. I mean, you know you did the right thing. If anything, your story has affected so many people in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and hopefully they're listening to maybe with a different ear now, like, oh, so that's what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I just hope that, and this thing that made me cry, I'm driving home, and
I'm sorry.
I can't see the road.
Jeremy, I never cry. I'm trying to be, I always try to be strong in here, but anyway, I'm just so sorry, because I know what you're fearful of facing, because we're talking about every holiday that comes up. We're talking about every birthday that comes up. We talk about, I mean, it's his daily life that he's now having to face with this. But I do agree, you did the right thing. You did your part. Now it's up to your family to do their part.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, I don't know. Just thanks, you guys, for everything, for all the support, for you know, being there. It's great, and it's great that I can go back and I can listen to you, even if I don't have my family. I know that I can listen to the Burt Show every time I get back to Atlanta. So, you know, just thanks for everything, for all the support.
You could probably move in with Melissa. She's very she's very welcoming and enjoys.
We'll be happy to have it. And you know, you can listen to it. Come anytime you come to Atlanta, then absolutely, you've got a womb of friends that will take care of you.
Hey, Jeremy, and there are so many people that I could put on this morning that want to give you, you know, words of encouragement and support. We could do this till 10 o'clock, you know, so we'll definitely have to have you on in a week and find out what's going on with your parents and see if anybody in the family bent a little bit in their attitude about the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't expect too much. I'm not getting my hopes up. I'm not holding my breath for that. But, you know, I hope that someone, you know, I can't fathom not having my family with me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I just wanted to thank you for being so brave to come on and share your story.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Jeremy. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All righty, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's hard.
Mm-hmm. Poor thing.
Yeah. Melissa, do you want to sing a song now?
No, because of our...
So they do it on American Idol. Chris Brown was expected to do it last night.
Yeah, no.
The Burt Show. The Burt Show.
I get a ton of emails. When there is a Marlin tournament or somebody catches a big Marlin somewhere, I will get tweeted. I will get emailed about it because I've had this dream now for 15, 20 years to catch a Marlin. And it's well documented on this show that I've gone out a million different times, tried to find Marlin, gone to Costa Rica, gone to Key West, gone to Cabo, places that it's impossible not to catch a Marlin. And I've come away skunked with nothing, right?
It's almost cruel that people are emailing and tweeting
about it. It's funny, actually. It's kind of, I laugh at it now because I spent.
In a sad, tragic way.
I laugh at it now because I spent so much money and so much time trying to catch this damn Marlin that it's sort of become legendary. But this is a story from over the weekend. At least my situation isn't as bad as this dude's. So, I believe his name is Andy something. He's the captain of a boat and he's in this big tournament. It's called the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament, and it was last weekend off in North Carolina. And Andy and his crew landed, check this out, y'all, an 883-pound marlin.
What?
Wow.
It was a tournament record. 883 pounds.
Whoa. Wow.
Must have taken them forever to get that thing in, right? So they win the tournament. And I guess there are four or five dudes on the boat crewing this thing.
Oh, no.
And the winnings for it is $1 million. Everybody on the crew shares in $1 million for winning this tournament, right? So all the crew is celebrating. But before the money's given away, the officials have to make sure that everybody on the boat has their fishing licenses, which isn't a big deal because in North Carolina, it costs $15 to get your fishing license.
Oh,
if you're
no.
out of state,
no.
Where is this going?
$30.
Where is this headed?
Turns out one dude on the crew lied when he got on board and said he had his fishing license.
No.
And he didn't buy it. So when they won the tournament, he was surprised by it too. And he's like, oh, damn, I didn't buy my fishing license and I lied to my whole crew. So he goes and he purchases his fishing license after the win, brings it back, shows the officials. They realize that it was stamped after the tournament.
Oh, no.
Y'all, they took away the $1 million and they gave it to somebody else.
No way!
One fishing license for $15 cost the entire crew $1 million.
Oof. That's witness protection program,
yes,
right?
Man.
That's worthy of him having to make sure he is never seen anywhere near that harbor again.
Dude, 883 pounds, they get nothing. In fact, he got fined for it. The crew got fined, so they lost money in the end.
Oh, that's awful.
I would have been so mad.
Oh, he's going to have nightmares for the rest of his life.
Well, the rest, I mean, you talk about losing five really good friends.
Ooh,
that guy's
done.
You're dead
he's
to
out.
Me. Dead.
Here, Burt Show.